This is Cascadia Public Radio.
Good evening. My name is Rebecca Ney. Tonight, in lieu of Hard Knock Radio, we are going to be having a discussion about KBOO's bylaw proposals. This year, there are two proposed changes to our bylaws. So if you are a KBOO member, I would really, and you haven't sent your ballot in, I would encourage you to grab your ballot right now and follow along on this discussion tonight. We will be opening the phones a little bit later on. You can call us at 503-231-8187. Again, we're having a discussion about a change to Article 6, Section 5 and Article 6, Section 4 of KBOO's bylaws. Again, my name is Rebecca Ney. Tonight, joining us here to discuss these changes in favor of the changes is Ani Haynes, our volunteer coordinator.
Good evening.
And Judy Feistel, who serves on the board right now, correct?
Yes, that's right.
Okay. And then on discussing some concerns with these changes, joining us is Paula Small and Daniel.
Bless us.
Yes.
It's Greek, Rebecca.
Yes. All right, thank you. I forgot your last name, Daniel. I meant to ask you before you went on the air, but I digress.
It would have been Papa Fluffy. We shortened it for you.
Thank you. Okay, so let's just go ahead and get started with this discussion. We'll start with Section 4. The existing bylaw regarding board member qualification states that a board member shall be a member of KBOO. The new law states that a candidate for the board must have current membership, and they cannot be banned from the building. So the first question is, does this bylaw change adequately address how we respond to banned members who want to run for the board? And we'll go ahead and just go clockwise here, starting with Ani.
I also just wanted to clarify, I'm here, my role as the volunteer coordinator is one thing, but I also serve on KBOO's personnel committee and have since about 1992. And that is a role I now have as a staff person, but it's actually in the work that I do with the personnel committee that I became familiar with these bylaws and looking at the need for them. So I just wanted to clarify that it's not just a staffer in favor, but my position as a member of the personnel committee. So does this adequately address members that have been banned? Well, I think what we are trying to address, and perhaps this is adequate, I believe it is a step in the right direction, is that once somebody has actually been banned from the organization, and banned is such a weird word, it's kind of like excommunicated or something, we look at actually people who have been suspended or excluded, whose ability to come into the station has been restricted for some reason. So the term banned has been thrown around for many, many years, but actually the term that I think is more accurate is somebody who's excluded from the premises. And that can happen either because somebody has had a behavioral issue, in which case they have been deemed to be a harm to the community that is trying to create radio, that they could be needing to get a handle on some sort of issue, that are preventing them from working cooperatively with people at the moment. And we certainly have had people who have been suspended, then successfully reengage, but during the time that the behavioral issue has not been addressed, to exclude them from the premises has been what this organization does and what any organization does when one is trying to really create a welcoming environment wherein people can get the work done. So to have somebody who's been excluded for reasons of behavior then say they want to serve in a leadership position of that organization, I don't feel serves that organization. That is the crux of the biscuit for this this particular issue. Does that add to say that you cannot be in a leadership position by serving on the board of directors? as a person excluded from the premises, is that adequate to address? You know, it. My main concern is, in fact, that once you have been excluded for whatever reason, that you do not, you are not able to continue to harm the community and the organization. So, I think that it is adequate. I think it's a positive step.
And I'd like to open up a chance to for either Daniel or Paula to respond to that.
Well, there's a lot of pretty open-ended terms here, such as harm. I've been here, by the way, for those of you, like, who am I? Okay, I'm a person who's been here at KBOO doing a radio show, a member of KBOO's community for about 32 years, seen a lot of staff, seen a lot of volunteers, and not a whole lot of reasons to ban someone from the building or to restrict them, except for, as Ani pointed out, combative, violent behavior. I can't think of, and I invite any of you out there to think of a more politically charged environment than a community radio station. I mean, think about that, folks. You've got people that come in here about they're passionate about the issues that and the communities that they are serving. I've seen all kinds of heated arguments here, but when somebody actually, I've only seen this a couple times in the 32 years I've been here, when somebody actually reaches the point where they're through their anger management issues or whatever, actually couldn't play nice, couldn't get along with others, and were disruptive to that to me is the only time that I can see saying that person can't be here because they're restricting the right of other people to be here. In terms of political differences or in terms of, I mean, harm, it's a difficult issue. And one of the problems that I'm having with, as it's written in my ballot, the rationale for bylaw change, the words harm to KBOO is there like three times. And I am a member of KBOO, and I feel like I'm KBOO and you're KBOO. And I don't feel harmed by some individuals that maybe somebody else. One thing that Ani said when she was talking, she said I. She said, well, I don't feel that they could possibly serve as well. It's so open to conjecture. And so I've been sort of dragged in there today because, I mean, like, I just feel like KBOO should be a place of open access, and I feel like just about anybody should be able to run for the board of directors because guess what? We vote for them. So if they're elected by a vote of the membership, then I think that they should have. I'm a believer that everything evens out. That people that really can't cut it will probably, well, it may get bumpy for a while. But I feel that way about democracy.
And I'd like to open up Judy for a response, and then we'll go to Paula to start with the next question.
All right. Well, one thing is we have a policy in regards to how we have somebody excluded from the station. So it's just not a willy-nilly kind of thing. It was, and with this bylaw change in mind, the board, I don't know if it was at the last board meeting or two board meetings ago, it was the last one, actually. I'm looking at the date. Because we thought that's definitely a fair question, you know, and a fair concern, too. You don't want us for just any old reason to say that somebody's banned and then they can't run for the board. So it's a, you know, runs to two pages. It's policy number 69. 69. And it's on the website, too, that people can look at that as well. Under governance, you can check where the policies are. Right before, it must be policies, number 68 is our core values. And so that's what a lot of this refers to in regards to how people are treating each other here. We are an organization that, you know, we say that we promote social justice, and I really feel that's very important, even if people disagree with each other, that people treat each other with respect. I think that's really important. So in regards to banning people, there hasn't been that many people banned. I think in the last couple of years, it's probably...
I had sat down with a colleague, actually, and we were trying to suss out, actually, over the last 20 years, and came up with, I believe, a dozen people in a 500-person volunteer community that's got new people coming and going every month. So there's been...
Were the bulk of those
quite
recent?
A few people, no. I would say not the bulk. There has been, and recent meaning the last 5 years. Let me break that down. I think that there have been, three people excluded in the last 5 years, maybe four.
And Paula, I'd like to get you in on this discussion here. Do you have any response to any of the current arguments for this change?
Yes, absolutely. This is Paula Small. And my issue with Article 6, Section 4, the proposed change, is the ambiguity of it.
And that really leads into our second question,
okay.
Actually. So why don't I just...
I'll just really quickly just say that... basically, the policy 69 that Judy mentioned is the volunteer discipline code. But in the proposed bylaw change and in the existing one, to be a board member, you do not have to be a volunteer of KBOO. You have to be a member, which is not quite the same thing. So while board members would be subject, apparently, to the volunteer discipline code, that's a little vague as well because, again, to be a board member, you just have to be a member of KBOO, and anyone can pay their membership and never step foot inside KBOO's building. So I guess that's the issue I have regarding the exclusion of a board member from the premises because the people, and please correct me if I'm wrong, the people that we are concerned with is, as far as being excluded from the premises set foot on the premises in a volunteer position, in a volunteer role, and not simply as board members. And so that's my issue.
So I'll ask you this question, and we'll go to Ani for a response. Is there any language in KBOO's current bylaws that specify procedures regarding banning or excluding members, or however we want to word it, from the station? Is there any procedure that specifies that? If not, how does the current proposal define who can or cannot be banned from the station? Paula?
That's my concern. My concern is that while both Ani and Judy are correct, that the rationale is we want to make sure that KBOO remains a peaceful place for all volunteers and members and the community when you're in the building. It does not really say, there's no statement here that there is a definition of what's abuse. And everyone can determine abuse. It is somewhat subjective. Verbal abuse, emotional abuse are rather subjective. And it's the subjectivity that is a concern for me. Also, in the proposed change, there isn't a stipulation as far as what it takes to be reinstated, what it means to be reinstated. Is there some difference between being excluded, now being reinstated, having not been? There are too many what ifs for me to be really firm that this change is that much better than the existing bylaw.
Ani.
I have always been really concerned about people being excluded for capricious reasons of dissent. I'm a very proud participant in a grassroots radio network, very loosely affiliated group of idealized radio stations that take the social change aspect of community radio very seriously and are very committed to being inclusive and being open, transparent, and engaging. And we've done a lot of work, actually, over the last 5 years here at KBOO around actually enforcing house rules, which was something that I'm really proud of working on. It's an idea that started as a volunteer-driven project in the early aughts, about 2003. 75 volunteers came together and drew up the ideas that the house rules were based on that have been finally approved by the board after 7 years are now officially adopted and codified. And That actually caught the attention of many other community stations. We've been invited to present at Grassroots Radio Conference Network things and NFCB conferences on trying to change the culture within community radio to be more cooperative, not to meld into, you know, a non-radical pablum, but to engage our creative passions in a way that we help and support each other and move things forward. And so that's always been a real concern. You know, there are stations, obviously, the Pacifica situation is dreadful. And I know myself, many people were active during that time. Daniel was very active during that time, you know, to not only help Pacifica, but to look at what we do here and make sure that that is never going to fly. And so we did draft the and pass the Volunteer Discipline Code. Again, members banned from the station. The only reason anyone has been banned from the station is behavioral issues. And as Daniel said, you know, generally violent behavior that cannot work in a capacity with others. There is one other situation right now that is actually illegal, harmful to the station. That would be a non-violent behavioral issue. But under legal advice. So with that, we have is Volunteer Discipline Code Policy 69, inability to work within those guidelines and boundaries as established by staff departments policy, including the House rules. Problems in this category and their effects may vary in severity. Staff have some flexibility in responding. If an issue becomes apparent with somebody's behavior, myself or another department coordinator engages the volunteer and assesses the situation. If it's appropriate, the conflict resolution policy, which encourages mediation and cooperative solution building, is engaged. If there's a second event with that same volunteer, then, again, there's action. And maybe a need to reinforce guidelines and boundaries, maybe restricting access to KBOO after hours, separating volunteers, having work plans, and that sort of thing. There's a third event, then there's progressive disciplinary procedures that may end in suspension or exclusion. Now, suspension, people who have been under suspension, and this does happen periodically, you know, can seek to reengage the station following a plan designed to address specific behavioral concerns after and then have a probationary period for reengagement. This happened a couple of years ago when there was a longtime and well-beloved volunteer who had issues with substance abuse and who became violent unpredictably one afternoon. And, my God, check this out. You can't be here anymore. You've got to get this under control. And successful plan for reengagement was completed. And he's back, and it's all, you know, it's a good thing. Other people have not been able to go on with that that path to reengage, to deal with those issues, have been unable or unwilling. And so for those people, then, that suspension continues indefinitely. For serious infractions of the House rules, in the event of a serious infraction which jeopardizes immediate safety of the station and or individuals, myself or any other staff present may act unilaterally to suspend the volunteer at once to restore safety. Then, you know, an investigation is conducted. Anyone who is, in fact, excluded, you know, by this time may appeal that to a conflict resolution committee pursuant to our conflict resolution policy. So I just wanted to throw out there that we have actually spelled out very specifically why somebody ends up in suspension or exclusion. And a process to reengage.
Daniel, your response?
Yeah, I've never known anybody to be banned for life, and that
not
nice.
Since 92.
It's nice to know that that the door is still open for if people want to come back and mm-hmm. try and reengage.
Yeah, very important.
So does reference to this policy, because right now we've got a volunteer policy, if I'm understanding correctly, and then we've got a bylaw. Two completely separate things. To add clarity to this, would you two feel more comfort, Paul? I'm talking to Paula. And
well, I think Paula really nailed it a few minutes ago in a way that it hadn't really hit me. There's two situations here. There's the House rules about how we make radio and how we interact in the building, and then there's serving on the KBOO Board of Directors.
Absolutely, because just to let everyone know, as a KBOO board member, each member is a guardian of KABU, whereas you can volunteer at KABU and have your own purpose and your own standing. Being a KABU board member is very serious business and should be dealt with seriously. But again, that's where I go back to this issue that I have, because one of the redresses we have in society is the legal system. And the legal harm is also an issue for me. I mean, I can almost understand the abusive behavior thing because, again, if someone's deemed a threat, I can't really say that that person isn't threatening or was threatening or wasn't threatening and what the situation was. But a legal redress, I'd have to know the specifics, honestly, because if I went through some sort of legal claim on behalf of someone who may have felt threatened or some other sort of action, I would then be at risk of being excluded from running on the board, even though my role may not have actually been as the plaintiff or the main litigant. I guess for me, again, it's the ambiguity in the whole system.
Would you see yourself as against KABU if you were in that position?
I wouldn't. Because again, if I'm making a legal claim, or if I'm working with someone as an advocate who's making a legal claim to strengthen KABU, if that's what our intent is, because that's what all of this is, it's about intent, right? And if that's my intent, I don't know that I feel comfortable with someone excluding me from doing better for KABU. Or better in the name of KABU or something along those lines.
So how would we create some kind of oversight to ensure, okay, this person may have some good intentions, but there are also people that interpret this as harm to KABU? We have a volunteer policy that does specifically state that there are things that I think most reasonable people would agree on, that, you know, it may not be good to have these people around. But, Judy, we haven't heard from you in a while. How can we govern this? How can we nail this down specifically to address their concerns as well as, you know, keep the station in harmony, keep everybody happy, so to speak?
Well, I think, you know, one of the major things is that it's not a permanent ban.
Yeah.
You know, that, you know, Paul, if you were involved with something that you decided in your heart, you know, that you needed to do in terms of suing the station, and the station's lawyer is saying, well, you can't be in our station now. Well, when it's over, then you'll be talking to Ani and work on reengagement. No problem. Run for the board. Be on the board. I mean, there's no issue with that. And I do want to allude to something that Daniel said earlier, that, you know, as great as it is that our members are voting for our, you know, the candidates for being seated on the board, you know, most people don't know who these people are. We just collect a statement from these people. They say whatever they want to say.
It's like in the state elections.
Exactly. But there's probably, it's exactly the same thing. And that, but in terms of, I think that maybe that, maybe I think it's pretty much the same thing. Pretty much. But just in terms of KABU, it's been very hurtful to KABU. You know, we've suffered a lot in regards to several people who have had lawsuits, have hurt people in behaviorally in regards to how they've been treating people. People have left the board because of treatment by some people. Who haven't followed house rules. And it has really weakened our organization. So that's the reality that we're dealing with. And we're a small, small little group here, and we can maybe help protect ourselves a little bit. You know, the state, you know, I don't know what to say about the state. You know, that's another thing. Yeah, right, exactly. But maybe we can protect it a little bit more. And one thing I know Ani has shared with me is that when she goes to the grassroots conference, and maybe you should fill in because you know the information is more hearsay from me, that we have one of the most open, open elections in terms of board participants. The most open.
I'm proud
door.
Of that, by the way. I'd like to keep
I'm proud of that, too.
We still do.
And even with these changes, we would still, most stations, I was totally flabbergasted to find this out, but most community radio stations do not have boards that are entirely member elected.
I've seen that.
Some stations have boards that have no membership participation, that are appointed by this group, that group, and the other group. And I think that's an interesting way to set up a community station, and I'm sure that they have their reasons for having done so, but I'm really proud of our open elections. And really, I see this as strengthening the organization, not really putting serious limits on who's going to run.
So really quickly here before we move on, would it alleviate some concerns about this proposal if we were to adapt something that's similar to our volunteer policy and that was specifically spelled out in a bylaw proposal as to what constitutes you keeping your privileges and responsibilities of being a member and or volunteer and what doesn't, would that strengthen? Do you see that as what Ani would say is strengthening our position? Would that be a possible?
I think it could strengthen and it could weaken in other bigger ways. I mean, I'm just one of these people that feels like when you have troubles in a current situation that you don't go in and change the Constitution. Like you really have to, I want to acknowledge that it is a struggle. I want to acknowledge that what Judy was saying, that, you know, when people have given their time to come and serve on this board and then you have some sort of problems with behavior, I acknowledge it's a problem, but I don't think that well, it's not an easy answer. It's not an easy way out. I'm also very proud of KBOO. I've done, like Ani, I've gone to conferences where people turn around and look at you when you say elected board. And you have a programming committee. And I end up feeling like, wow, we invented this stuff? I mean, no, of course not. But it makes me very proud of what we have at KBOO. And maybe that's why we're still the nation's longest independent radio station. I mean, we are very, very strong. Because of these ideals, I'm one of these people that feels like if something has been working, and I have seen some difficult board situations, and I've seen other difficulties in the building, and I don't feel like we should now rewrite any laws based on a current predicament. And when we talk about hurting KBOO or suing KBOO, I just don't know if someone's taking an action against a decision by a certain board of directors, and I'm sitting in that room as a member of KBOO, it's a difficult one because I don't feel like that person. I feel like that person may be being wronged, and in the courts we may find out that they're right. In which case, why would we blame the victim?
Ani, can you respond in 30 seconds?
Well, I don't know that I can. To that point, I guess I see there's two distinct roles. If you want to engage in legal action against the station, then so be it. Go forth and engage in legal action against the station.
Why is it against the station?
Well, because technically that's the way it's framed in the courts. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and put it out there. Whether it is or not. But just to say that while you're on the board, you have a fiduciary responsibility to be a custodian or guardian of the station. And I just think that those are two different roles. Once that legal action is over, jump on in again, be a member in full, non-restricted whatnot. You know, that's awesome. That wasn't actually what I wanted to say. What I wanted to say was that I actually really appreciate this conglomeration of people that are sitting here because, in fact, we are really good friends, I got to say. And not all three of us or all four of us all the time and all, you know, all this stuff. But I have really solid friendships actually, with the two people I'm debating.
We've all worked together
and
for a long time.
We've all worked together. We all know each other. We all trust each other. And we can discuss differences of opinions as people who are grown-ups in an organization who can engage in the diversity of thought. And it's that kind of behavior that strengthens an organization. And I just wanted to throw that out there because I know this dynamic is a little odd as we're all like, but it's okay because this is dynamic participatory democracy in action.
No one's throwing anything.
And we can still love each other and respect each other and disagree with each other. And
speaking
that's
there's a caller. Speaking of that, we do have a phone caller. Oh. Caller? Yvette, you on the line. Yvette?
Hello, caller, you're there.
Let's move on. We've got one more section to discuss, so we're going to wrap up our discussion on Section 4 of Article 6 of the bylaw, which most of the discussion for the past hour has been revolving around, you know,
it's
banning.
The big one.
Yeah, that's the big one, banning members from the premise. Our next bylaw.
Well, the bylaw proposal, actually, to just be clear, is around saying that if, in fact, you have been banned from the premises, you are not able to run for the KABU Board of Directors.
And you can't serve on the board.
And that's been the controversy. Listeners, this is going to be one of the reasons why, especially all you members out there, we would love your feedback on this. This is a really important change. And we need feedback from
the
community.
That's important discussion, too. I just want to add that when you get your ballot, you sort of say, okay, it seems like they've figured it all out. And then sometimes we hear these discussions and they go, wait a minute, that's not understood.
Before we move on, we have another caller. Alicia, are you on the phone?
Hi, yes.
Alicia, what's your question?
Hi. Well, I don't have a question. I just wanted to comment, if that's okay.
Great.
In regards to the bylaw change, bylaw number one on the ballot, I support it, and I wanted to comment on the statement that was made just a few moments ago that, you know, why are we changing the Constitution or whatever because of this? Well, there's a thing called precedents. Precedents are set because, you know, there's unforeseen circumstances and things that change and evolve that cause us to, you know, implement these new laws, the bylaws, to protect ourselves. So I think this makes sense, and that's all I wanted to say is it's a precedent and it needs to be done to protect the station.
Thank you so much.
I appreciate
your
opinion. A lot of these things about harm and protection are I just feel like they're open to conjecture, and that, you know, she's certainly, that's her opinion.
So to sum this up, really, you guys are calling for clarification, that you see the spirit behind this, but you want clarification.
Absolutely.
And if I'm understanding over here, you guys feel like there's plenty of clarification already there. Is that correct?
That it's in keeping with the spirit of the organization to remain open and democratic and radical and open to dissent. But we want people to dissent while respecting each other, while, you know, not engaging in personal attacks, while not, you know, having some sort of violent outburst. And, you know, we want people to do it as adults in a room. Disagree with each other, kind of like, well, we're doing tonight. It's okay. This is actually participatory democracy.
Actually, Rebecca, I think it's us that feels like it's already there. Mm-hmm. I say don't mess with it. And I think that, again, Paula nailed it when she says we have the legal arena for protection, if we are really talking about that.
That's an expensive arena. I say that would be better for us to be taking our differences.
It's a protection.
Outside of the arena and within our community as much as possible.
503-231-8187. I just wanted to throw that number out
there. There's a whole other section of the bylaws that we haven't gotten to yet.
I will. And I just want to say just very quickly that my other issue is really that we are taking money from members and then excluding them from the premises, which is one of the perks of community radio, is that you can come down and visit KABU anytime. And I realize that that's not going to be addressed in this bylaw or in this hour, but that's another issue that I have, is that we're restricting people but still taking money. I personally have a problem with that, and I can say in this case.
I do too, actually. The money to me, I resent having my money that I support the station with being spent to protect directors that may be acting wrongly.
Okay.
I don't feel like that's I don't think they're attacking KABU. I think that they're trying to do the right thing.
Both parties have stated your position. I don't think we're going to come to an agreement on this. For certainly not.
No.
I say vote no on bylaw change.
I say vote yes.
But we do have another section. Go, moderator, go.
And what about the next section? And that's where we're going on this. So, Section 5, the existing bylaw states that the election shall be concluded at the annual meeting by a count of ballots returned by mail and cast at the annual meeting. The new proposal specifies that only ballots in an officially signed ballot envelope will be counted if they are returned by mail or cast at the annual meeting. The new proposal also specifies that ballots returned by any other method will not be counted. How is this change important and why? Who will go with?
Again, I say vote no. Well, listen, I read through both of those as it exists and as it changed. I read it over and over today when I knew that I was going to have to be dragged in here. And I didn't really want to because I love everybody here. But anyway, I looked at this over and over, and the only distinct thing I noticed was this line about any other methods. Ballots returned by any other methods will not be counted. And I thought, okay, is that the only difference?
Yeah. Well, there's actually, in that particular sentence. Yeah. The thing there is, it's clarification. This has been driving some folks up a wall for a little while. We provide return envelopes that say, please mail this ballot back to our accountant, who is an independent third party who is entrusted to count the vote fairly, or bring them to the annual meeting. But that does not actually preclude, say, somewhere between one and two dozen members on average every year that I've been on staff, returning their ballots to the station, either dropping them off at the front desk. I found them in my mailbox in the lobby. I've seen them shoved under my door before. And I'm sure that some ballots get lost.
So this is housekeeping.
This is purely about making sure all the people that take the time to vote actually have their ballots counted by getting them back to the accountant or bringing them to the meeting, period.
And the problem is that there have been possibly some missing ballots or votes.
There's no accountability. If you, for some reason, decide, bless you, you love KABU, you know that KABU's going to get your ballot to the right place at the right time, and you leave it at the front desk because no one was there. Mm. You happen to be here in the evening. You were a guest on a show, and you got a ballot with you. Oh, I'm just going to leave it here.
Well, the reason I said no. Okay.
And I don't want to find them after the vote gets counted and people have lost them.
That's another issue altogether. Because the reason I said no originally is because a few years ago we had a condition very much like this, actually, in which we had a well-written ballot go out, say, look, here's bylaw changes. We want to put these in just, and don't worry about it. Just everything's fine. And some people told me, actually, after hearing an on-air discussion, that they had already voted and wanted to change their vote, a handful of people. So I called Mark Eklund, our CPA, and said, what do we do about that? These people actually already sent it in. And he said, if they come here to the office, they can do it, but they have to personally hand me their new ballot. So when I saw that, I thought, that might exclude that.
Hmm. Well, and I also just wanted to say, well, for me, one of the things was, What would be a problem with me, you know, if I didn't get my ballot for some reason, I moved, whatever, now filling it out to the CPA's office with my ID number and signing it just as if it were pre-printed. I guess that's why I had an issue with it, because I thought, well, that could have happened because that almost happened to me this time. And I know I can just show up to the meeting and do that. But in the event that that's not an opportunity for whomever's listening, and whoever wants to actually cast their vote, I just that was my issue with it. Plus the typo that was in there as well, so it made me a little
squidgy.
Is it safe to possibly say that this house cleaning change might not cover all circumstances or all situations that might arise regarding a member casting its ballot?
Well, what do you mean, why have it then?
I honestly couldn't say if this covers every possible potential of a member casting their ballot in some way that But we think it's...
Because that's your concern, right, Daniel?
Sure.
I'm not sure I understand.
Well, I'm all for internal controls and for the security. So I have to say I understand why this is here. Without the rationale, I definitely understand why it's here. But I guess that was my issue, was like, if I address it myself with the member ID and sign it, I think that should count.
Hey, we've been talking too much. There's people out there that want to talk.
There are phone callers. Michael is on the line. Michael, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. I've got one issue with the proposed change on number 5. There is a phrase which part of a sentence which says candidates must submit an application, including a statement of interest, at least 7 calendar weeks prior to the election. What that does very neatly is to cut out the right of a candidate to be a write-in candidate, which means that when the candidates are announced, that I reserve the right, I'm not being personal there, but I can reserve the right to jump in as a write-in candidate in order to guarantee an election. There has been at least one case where I personally have done that, because for 4 slots or for 6 slots, there were just the right number of candidates and there would not have been an election. And I wrote in, I asked to write in, I proposed to write in, and I was given some privileges as a write-in candidate. That disappears under the new rule. I'm sorry.
You're moving us along right there, so we appreciate that. Ani, do you want to respond to that?
It doesn't.
The existing bylaw actually reads, that sentence actually reads, candidates may run for election by submitting a statement of interest to be received by the nominating committee or its designee at least 7 calendar weeks prior to the election. That,
already there.
That 7 calendar weeks is actually there because of Oregon state law and other bylaw that states that, you know, you have to mail ballots if other than by first class, no greater than 60, no fewer than 30 days before the annual election. And by the time you actually have to get it to the printing and mailing process, 7 calendar weeks is what it takes to get all of those candidate statements laid out, printed, and mailed so that it meets the 30, no less than 30 day prior to the annual election. So actually that 7 weeks, I just want to be very, very clear, is actually in the existing bylaw. The thing that changes in that sentence is that the candidate must submit an application, including a statement of interest to the nominating committee or its designee. The submitting of an application, including a statement of interest to the nominating committee, is the change.
Caller, you're on the line. Dave, are you on the line?
Hi, Dave.
Hello?
Is that Dave? That's Yvette.
Hi, Yvette. How are you?
Hey.
All right, what's your question or comment?
I just have to say that I am banished, and included in my banishment letter was the fact that I had joked about Becky Chow. In my joking, I said she must be a member of the CIA. That was a reason for banishing me, and I also wanted to add that the group of the banished people who were banished outside of any known policy, we knew about Becky Chow's Nazi sympathizing like 6 months to a year before it became public. And yet we can't put that kind of stuff on the cable website, et cetera, because it's censored.
Okay.
And no further. And I went, okay, so my...
And we... Yvette, we want to thank you for bringing up your concern.
Actually, to the listeners, we ought to mention that we had an issue of libel and slander that we had to deal with.
So, that's a very long situation there that unfortunately we only have about 7 minutes left.
Still have Dave?
I wanted to mention one other thing that we haven't talked about that is a difference with the new... Section 5 from the existing Section 5, that it says the new one is the Board of Directors shall encourage diverse candidates to run for the board. Where the
that is my final question.
Oh, okay.
Sweet. So
I wanted
ahead,
to make sure we didn't overlook that.
Because, yes.
I wanted to make sure that was out there. The existing one had said that the election... where that says the Board of directors shall be responsible for ensuring that an adequate number of candidates representative of the diversity of the corporation members are nominated. We feel that's an ideal. We feel that it's an ideal, but it's nothing that has ever been enforced in any way. It's still it's an ideal that we want to see happen, and I think, you know, this slate of candidates, you know, we hit some of that ideal and some not, and but
it's tough to enforce.
Well, and,
exactly.
And let me just
without
go ahead.
The ability to draft.
And
you will serve your community radio station.
Well, and what the language specifically says, at least the part that you're bringing up here in this particular bylaw change, is that the board shall be responsible for ensuring the diversity of candidates. That's the old language, versus the new language says the board is going to encourage diverse candidates to run for the board. My question is, how does this proposed bylaw change affect how KBOO will recruit board candidates in the future? Are there, and
doesn't affect.
It doesn't.
No.
And, do you have? Do Paula or Daniel have any response to that?
Yeah, I actually, I think that was an interesting change in language because it does seem to be. I get that it's an ideal. And that's community radio because we are community. We want to represent the community. But it does beg the question, as people would say, of what are we doing to outreach then to make sure and to ensure? Because I liked the ensure from before. Mm-hmm. I did like that a little bit more because it seemed a call of action almost. Mm-hmm. And that's been downplayed, I guess, in the revision to me.
I got to say, that was hotly debated at the personnel committee level, and I prefer the insure language, personally. But that all said, I am persuaded by pragmatism at the end of the day sometimes, and aside from the ability to actually draft people that we think would be great candidates, which, let's face facts, I came close to this time, that it's hard to really find people who have, A, the time, because the board takes an incredible amount of time, passion, and energy to serve on the board. I think we always need to really take that responsibility to have a diverse slate of candidates in all aspects of the diversity that is found here at the radio station present. That's going to serve our membership and the station best. But outside of the ability to directly draft a person, we don't have the ability to ensure. And I can't say that something should be in the bylaws that we actually don't have the capacity to uphold.
We have 3 minutes left and one phone caller. Steve, you're on the air.
Hi. I'm going to go back to Section 4 because I've been trying to call for a while and couldn't get on. I'm concerned that there's a history, as you alluded to earlier, of progressive organizations that can sometimes be taken over by rogue or arbitrary managers or cliques on the board,
mm-hmm.
and try to take an organization in a different direction. You mentioned Pacifica Radio.
Mm-hmm.
Antioch University did this a couple years ago and closed down an entire college campus. I can think of other nonprofits that did this. And KBOO had a manager in the 1970s who was acting in what some people thought was an arbitrary manner. So
I've heard about him. We've had a couple since then, too.
Yeah, hypothetically, in that case, there was a rebellion among volunteers, and they organized and tried to, what they did was they thought they were reclaiming the station. So what happens if you get another manager who wants to take the station in a different direction, and there's some people who want to run for the board and oppose that, and then he bans them? A manager can ban these people, their political opponents. It just seems like this is a very poorly thought-out wording with well, you're not even putting the procedures for banning in the same bylaws, which is
and that
highly
is
irregular.
Definitely something that we spent a good 40 to 45 minutes hashing over, and that is one of the top concerns about that bylaw.
That's
Steve,
a really good point.
Thank you for your call. Appreciate
well,
that.
I think he should sit there.
And I think that is, of course, the danger, always. Capricious, rogue elements, yeah, that's always a danger. And I've always had the greatest of faith in the KBOO volunteer community and the KBOO membership to actually make some noise, come down, get involved, start going to meetings, and using the processes that we have to make such an outcry that these things have never prevailed. And in my involvement in the last 20 years, I've seen at least a couple, three maybe, really good attempts to restrict the station in any of a number of ways to take us in some other direction. And I have seen a joyful noise being made to keep us boisterous, to keep us very independent and very eclectic.
Don't you still have faith, Ani?
I do still have faith. And I've also seen some people, well, who have done some incredible things.
Yes.
Not really cop to it and attempt to be in leadership positions.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean incredible things, not in the good way.
Hey, Ani.
I'll leave it there.
Question.
Judy, yes.
In regards to that last caller, is how does somebody get banned? Can one individual ban a person?
In fact, no. It has to be, we've talked about this substantially, the staff, there has to be a majority decision of the staff. And in fact, in case of exclusion, I believe it's consensus of the staff. So it's not a rogue manager, and really, we've never really had a staff where everyone is in that kind of agreement.
But I agree
before.
With the caller. I think that the language in this is really problematic, and it's so open to conjecture.
And so.
And I'm against it, too.
That we're going to wrap up our discussion of Article 6, Section 4 and 5 of our current bylaw discussion. My name is Rebecca Ney. We've been joined tonight by Ani Haynes and...
That's Judy Feistel.
Judy Feistel.
Over
Paul
there we
Small,
have Paul
and Daniel
Flessel.
This is why I have notes that sometimes get buried when I have stage fright. Everybody, we want to thank you for joining us and get your ballots in, examine the issues, examine everything we've talked about tonight, and thank you so much for listening.
See you at the meeting.
And check the website for the audio from tonight and from the last two nights.
That's
K-B-O-O.
Right.
So that if you've missed any of this, tonight or Tuesday or Wednesday, already the candidate forum has been posted.
The candidate forum has been posted.
Yeah, if you just tuned in, you can catch it on the website.
Right. We appreciate that. We've got a lot of moderators in the room.
And thanks to the engineer.
To Kurt.
Yeah.
Love you.
Kurt
Lauer,
ladies and gentlemen.
You, Kurt. Everybody.
Also, to just go ahead and mention very quickly that annual meeting again, Sunday the 19th, 1 to 4. As Judy was saying, Tabor Space. Be there.
Half by 3.
Thank you.